Hey, okay, so this episode is going to be based around BPD, diagnostic criteria, treatment, things like that. So I'm going to start off with a download from a site called, it just says psi.uba.ar, so it's academical. It's for professionals, basically. It's diagnostic criteria from the Diagnostic Statistic Manual, the 5th edition. For people who don't know what that is what most people in America, most psychiatrists in America, will use to diagnose BPD, and some parts of England. I'm not sure about the rest of Europe, to be honest. So I'll try and get that in another podcast, but this is the general kind of guidelines. Okay, so the criteria for BPD, this is revised to June 2011 for the 5th edition of the DSM. So it has to be significant impairments in personality functioning manifest by, it has to be 5 of the following criteria. Right, identity. Right, let's do the original ones because this is in a weird order. It's a PDF. So this is not the revised edition, this is the original from DSM-4. So it's 5 or more of the following. 1. Frantic efforts to avoid a real or imagined abandonment. Note, do not include suicidal self-mutilating behaviour covered in criterion 5. Number 2. A pattern of unstable and intense interpersonal relationships characterised by alternating between extremes of idealisation and devaluation. This is also known as splitting. Something I will go on to describe either in this episode or a follow-up episode, whether it's the next one or at some point in the future. But there's lots of information on the internet about it, so please do some research before you go assuming things about maybe someone you love has BPD, or you think you might have the diagnosis. Just do a little bit of research on the things that I'm saying, because I'm literally covering the basics in this, so that it doesn't run too much over half an hour, but I provide enough information for follow-up research. Okay, so number 3 is identity disturbance. Markedly and persistently unstable self-image or sense of self. Number 4. Impulsivity in at least 2 areas that are potentially self-damaging. For example, spending, sex, substance abuse, reckless driving, binge eating. Note, do not include suicidal self-mutilating behaviour covered in criterion 5. 5. Recurrent suicidal behaviour, gestures or threats, or self-mutilating behaviour. I have to cut in there and say that when people say it's threats, it's people, someone with BPD, it's not a threat. They're not threatening. No, they may be like saying things like, oh, if you leave me, I'll do something like that. But that is genuinely how we feel. How we slash they feel. It's genuine. You know, we've got a, there's really negative kind of stigma surrounding BPD, that we're manipulative, and it's not that way at all. There's not enough There's not enough planning, like preemptive action. It is literally in the moment, impulsive actions. Okay, so 6. Affective instability due to a marked reactivity of mood. For example, intense episodic dysphoria, irritability or anxiety, usually lasting a few hours and only rarely more than a few days. 7. Chronic feelings of emptiness. 8. Inappropriate, intense anger or difficulty controlling anger. For example, frequent displays of temper, constant anger, recurrent physical fights. 9. Transient stress-related paranoid ideation or severe dissociative symptoms. I've just had a thought actually. I have covered borderline personality splitting in a previous podcast. I've also covered paranoid ideation. So that's the DSM-4 criterion. To be honest, it hasn't really changed that much. So let's have a look at the different personality disorders. So B, we want to cluster B. So impulsive behaviours that are harmful to you or others. They're considered for self-damaging acts such as excessive spending, unsafe, inappropriate sexual conduct, sexual abuse, reckless driving and binge eating. And 5. Recurrent suicidal behaviour, gestures, threats or self-injurious behaviour such as cutting or hitting yourself. It notes, if you cut yourself under stress, you should be evaluated by a psychiatrist to determine why you do this. It is a dangerous activity and frequent borderline disorder. I am going to get the Samaritans, the American number up. I've got all the England number. So if you have suicidal thoughts in the US, the suicide and national crisis hotlines are 1-800-SUICIDE. It says 1-800-784-2433, and this is for talk if you need someone to talk to. So that's 1-8-273-TALK or 1-800-273-8255. So that's suicide 1-800-784-2433, or for talk it's 1-800-273-8255. For the hearing and speech impaired, please. It's TTY, so please contact 1-800-799-4889. Please, if you feel like you need help and you're on the verge of of anything like that, please seek help. Go to your A&E department, contact your GP, contact your psychiatrist. Make sure that someone hears you. And now these are some numbers for England. I've got the Samaritans card somewhere. So the Samaritans number is 116123, which is a free number in the UK. And you can contact joe@samaritans.org for a text. You can text them saying it's 07725 90 90 90, or you can go to your local Samaritans. Now that's apparently for my local area, but there are, I'm going to look that up online as well. Samaritans. Okay, so there's various Samaritan's number for all over. So please get the number for your local Samaritans and keep it on your phone, or keep it on the fridge, on your on your pin board, however, wherever you're going to see it. And for people in the UK, you can just turn up at A&E. I have done on a few occasions. It's called presenting. So you turn up at A&E and you tell them exactly, you know, if you have plans to hurt yourself or plans for suicide, then please get some help. If you feel like you have got nothing to hold on to, there is always someone to hold on to. And I may not know you, I probably don't know you, but, you know, I give a shit, I care about you. I don't think anyone deserves to suffer like that, and I've been there. It's shit and it's crap. I've completely diverged from, got a complete diversion from the topic, but, you know, these things need to be addressed at the end of the day. Right, so I've done the cluster, cluster B personality disorder. Now there's a variety of treatments. There's a variety of psychotherapies known to help. BPD, I'm going to mention two, which are the main ones. That DBT was designed by a woman called Marsha Lineman, who had BPD herself. Has come out and it's designed a core sort of therapy which can help people manage symptoms of BPD. So it says BPD, DBT, dialectical behaviour therapy, is based on the idea that two important factors contribute towards BPD. One, you are particularly emotionally vulnerable. For example, low levels of stress make you feel extremely anxious. Two, you grew up in an environment where your emotions were dismissed by those around you. For example, a parent may have told you they had no right to feel sad, or you were just being silly if you complained of feelings of anxiety or stress. These two factors may cause you to fall into a vicious cycle and experience intense, upsetting emotions, yet feel guilty and worthless for having these emotions. Because of your upbringing, you have these emotions making you a bad person. These thoughts, they make you think you're a bad person. These thoughts then lead to further upsetting emotions. The goal of DBT is to break this cycle by introducing two important concepts. One, validation, accepting your emotions are valid, real and acceptable. And two, dialectics, a school of philosophy that says that most things in life are rarely black or white. And it's important to be open to the ideas and opinions that contradict your own. The DBT therapist will use both concepts to try and bring about positive changes in your behaviour. For example, the therapist could accept, validate the feelings of intense sadness that cause you to self-harm, or any other feelings that cause you to self-harm, and that behaving in such a way does not make you a terrible or worthless person, which it doesn't, by the way. It really, really doesn't. All of your feelings are valid, everyone's feelings are valid. We all experience life from different perspectives. This is me saying it. We all experience life from different perspectives. And, you know, some things affect some people in different ways. It's just different. And just because you've been given a label, all it means is that you can approach it from a situation where you can get the right therapy for you. Okay, so, and that having, and For example, the therapist could validate self-harm in that behaving in such a way does not make you a terrible or worthless person. However, the therapist would then attempt to challenge the assumption that self-harming is the only way to cope with feelings of sadness. The ultimate goal of DBT is to help you break free of seeing the world, your relationships and your life in a very narrow, rigid way that leads to engage in harmful and self-destructive behaviour. DBT usually involves weekly individual and group sessions, and you'll be given an out-of-hours contact number to call if your symptoms get worse. DBT is based on teamwork. You'll be expected to work with your therapist and the other people in your group sessions. In turn, the therapists work together as a team. DBT has proved effective in treating women with BPD who have a history of self-harm and suicidal behaviour. It's been recommended by the National Institute for Healthcare and Excellence as the first treatment for these women to try. Visit Mind, as Mind Charity UK, to find out more information about DBT. Now, wherever you are, it's worth checking out Mind because they've got lots of information regarding different diagnoses and how to go about dealing with them, like for carers, for family members, for people with various diagnoses or symptoms, Okay, so next is MBT, mentalisation based therapy. Another type of long-term psychotherapy that can be used to treat BPD is mentalisation-based therapy. MBT is based on the concept that people with BPD have a poor capacity to mentalise. Mentalisation is the ability to think about thinking. This means examining your own thoughts and beliefs and assessing whether they're useful, realistic and based on reality. For example, many people with BPD will have a sudden urge to self-harm and then fulfil that urge without questioning it. They lack the ability to step back from that urge and say to themselves, that's not a healthy way of thinking, I'm only thinking this way because I'm upset. And just like, for example, this is me chipping in, for example, impulsive spending. You know, it's that kind of whatever causes you to impulsively spend. It's having that, hang on a minute, do I really need this? It's that pause. So, another important part of mentalisation is to recognise that other people have their own emotions, thoughts, beliefs, wishes and needs, and your interpretation of people's mental states may not necessarily be correct. In addition, you need to be aware of the potential impact your actions will have on other people's mental states. The goal, that's, again, me chipping in, that's not to say that it's going to try and make you feel guilty. It's going to give you a logical, it's a meeting the middle logical emotional base. So, providing empathy for yourself and others, compassion for yourself and others. And, I suppose, understanding things from multiple viewpoints, which, when during an episode of BPD, it's not that easy to think of these things. You can't just turn around and tell yourself, oh, blah, 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 blah. But MBT helps this. It helps you do this. So the treatment usually consists of daily individual sessions with a therapist and group sessions with other people with BPD. A course of MBT usually lasts around 18 months. Some hospitals and specialist centres encourage you to remain as an inpatient during this time. Other hospitals and centres may recommend that you leave the hospital after a certain period of time, but remain being treated as an outpatient when you visit the hospital regularly. See, there's a third one. This is therapeutic communities. So, by the way, this is the NHS site. In the UK, so it's nhs.uk/conditions/borderline-patient-reported personality-disorder/treatment/. Or you can just do it the simple way and put NHS, BPD, and it will all come up. So, therapeutic communities, or TCs, are structured environments where people with a range of complex psychological conditions and needs come together to interact and take part in therapy. TCs are designed to help people with long-standing emotional problems and a history of self-harming by teaching them skills needed to interact socially with others. Most TCs are residential, such in large houses where you stay for around 1 to 4 days a week. As well as taking part in individuals and group therapy, you would be expected to do other activities designed to improve your social skills and self-confidence, such as household chores, meal preparation, games, sports and other recreational activities, regular community meetings where people discuss any issues that have arisen in the community. TCs are run on a democratic basis. This means that each resident and staff member has a vote on how a TC should be run. Now, I've never heard of this before, but it does actually sound really good. So if you get the opportunity to do this, and it's for you, then brilliant. Okay, so, as a fourth, it's art therapies. Arts or creative therapies may be offered individually or with a group as part of the treatment plan for people with BPD. Therapies may include art therapy, dance movement therapy, drama therapy, or music therapy. Arts therapies aim to help people who are finding it hard to express their thoughts and feelings verbally. The therapy focuses on creating something as a way of expressing your feelings. Courses are run by trained therapists who can help you to think about what you've created and whether it relates to your thoughts and experiences. A course of arts therapy involves weekly session, which usually lasts up to 2 hours. Now, treating a crisis. This is a crucial point about what I referred to earlier about the Samaritans and the National Suicide Hotline for America. Treating a crisis. You'll probably be given several telephone numbers to use if you think you may be experiencing a crisis. When symptoms are particularly severe and you have an increased risk of self-harm or suicidal ideation. Now, this is through the NHS, so each mental health team will have their own system of doing things, but usually, yeah, you will be given a crisis number, which you can call an urgent advice line or such, which is what I have in my local area and what I have access to. So, one of these numbers is likely to be your community mental health nurse, or other numbers may include an out-of-hours number for social workers or your local crisis resolution team. Now, chances are it's going to be your crisis resolution team. As we all know, the NHS is stretched as it is, so people who are severe are going to have someone like a social worker or a community mental health nurse, but it's most likely that you will get one for the urgent advice line or typically local crisis resolution team. Crisis resolution teams support people with serious mental health conditions who are currently experiencing an acute and severe psychiatric crisis, which would require hospitalisation without the team's involvement. An example of severe psychiatric crisis would be a suicide attempt. People with BPD often find that talking to somebody who understands their condition can help them bring them out of a crisis. In a small number of cases, you may be given a short course of medicine such as a tranquilizer to calm your mood. This medicine is usually prescribed for 7 days. If your symptoms are particularly severe and if it's thought you pose a significant risk to your own health, you may be admitted to hospital. Very occasionally via detention under Mental Health Act, if you're unable to make appropriate decisions about your safety, and you're talking like that's going to be quite severe. So relatively unlikely. So this will be for a short time as possible, and you should be able to return home once your symptoms improve. Doctors do their best to avoid detaining anyone unless it's absolutely essential. See, not only have the NHS not got many beds, but they don't want a feeling of institutionalisation where, you know, you lose your independence. And I know this because I've been in hospital, 3 years ago now, actually. I went in August 5th, 2017. So there, you can have medication for BPD to control the symptoms. However, it doesn't necessarily like treat BPD. Okay, so there's medicine is the last section on this site. Experts are divided over whether medicine is helpful. No medication is currently licensed to treat BPD. While medication isn't recommended by the National Institute for Health and Care Excellence guidelines, there's evidence that it may be helpful for certain problems in some people. They can include medicines are often used if you have another associated mental health condition such as depression, an anxiety disorder or bipolar disorder. Mood stabilizers or antipsychotics are sometimes prescribed to help mood swings, alleviate psychotic symptoms or reduce impulsive behavior. And also sometimes they can prescribe antidepressants alongside that. Now, somewhere, I don't know if you've read somewhere around that, I myself have a diagnosis of bipolar affective disorder. I'm not sure entirely what one they've decided that I've got, but considering that my levels of mania in the past, then it's definitely one. So it's bipolar 1, borderline personality disorder, historic symptoms of post-traumatic stress disorder, which still do affect me, but not half as much because of the medication that I'm on. And I have also have fibromyalgia. Now, for bipolar, I am on lamotrigine and risperidone. So that's an anticonvulsant for mood stabilizer, and risperidone is an antipsychotic. I'm on sertraline, which is one of the ones prescribed for PTSD and anxiety, is what it helps with. And then for fibro, I'm on pregabalin and amitriptyline, which are the two that are recommended for treating symptoms of the central nervous system involved in the umbrella term of fibromyalgia. Now, again, this is all treating symptoms. It's not in place of therapy. Personally, I believe in a holistic approach. So you have your therapy, you take your medication, you eat well, you sleep well, you hang around with positive people, and you stay away from negative habits. Don't get me wrong, I had a pizza for lunch today, and I'm going to have the rest of the pizza for dinner. But mostly, it's very important that you look after yourself. Exercise is also important. I think more than anything is cardio. So I do a lot of walking these days. I walk around a lot. I didn't used to, but I do now. And for physio, for my fibro, I'm supposed to do some core strengthening exercises. And I used to do weights anyway. Not big weights, just basic weights. But I haven't done that in a long time, so yeah, I'll have to get back on that. So that is, I suppose, BPD 101. I have done previous elements of it, but not it as a whole. So again, look back, and you've got episode on splitting and an episode on its psychosis, and paranoid ideation. The paranoid ideation is the BPD part. So, you know, and have a look. There's loads of information on the internet. Please take it all with a pinch of salt. There's so many varying opinions, and people's bias against BPD, I think, is quite unfair. Yeah. Okay, so I'm going to leave it there today, and yeah, I hope this helps.